following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hi, I'm DJ3, and this is X's and O's Exposed. Today, we will explore the reasons for team successes and failures this season that are deeper than stereotypical answers like one team won more than the other. Welcome back to the fourth episode of X's and O's Exposed, and today we will be focusing on the LA Clippers. So the Clippers are a team that have been made fun of for their lack of postseason success and just overall success in general. They've been around for 54 seasons and have not gotten to 70% win-loss percentage ever. Their most wins ever is 57, followed by 56 and 56 in their 2010 seasons. They have one Hall of Famer all-time who has been there for five or more seasons, besides some journeymen who were there for one season like Moses Malone and Dominique Wilkins. You look at their playoff success. In their 54 seasons, they've been to the Western Conference Finals just once when they lost to the Suns in 2020-2021. And you look down the entire list of their playoffs, and it's just really bad. There are decades where they've only gone three or four times. In the past decade, they've been many times, but they've been first-round exits, second-round exits, not really ever making the mark. And recently, they've been a team marked by having Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Paul George has made just 57% of the games that he's played for the Clippers, which is just absolutely atrocious, especially when you consider that he's missed a lot of playoff games for them. And Kawhi Leonard has missed 51% of his games, which is terrible, especially when you're considering the fact that he missed the entire 2021-2022 season. With this team, you really can't rely on their stars when they're so old. Kawhi Leonard is 32 and Paul George is 33. And even though those are kind of prime age numbers, the way that their bodies are now, you just can't really rely on them. Especially when you have a guy like Russell Westbrook, who's 35 and way out of his prime, and you're paying these guys $30, $40 million. And a trade that I and a lot of other NBA analysts thought would be just terrible and would not end well at all is the Clippers trading for James Harden. James Harden, Filip Petrušev, and PJ Tucker were acquired by the Los Angeles Clippers in exchange for Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, Marcus Morris, and a more favorable 2024 second-round pick, a swap of a couple first-round picks, and there was some cash acquired by the OKC Thunder for the least favorable 2026 first-round pick. Somehow they keep on acquiring first-round picks. And you look at this trade and you think to yourself, the Clippers didn't give up that much, but it was a lot of depth for them. A lot of those guys were rotational pieces. I'd argue almost all of them were rotational pieces. Even though they're old, they're really great for them. And going for a guy like James Harden, who at this point is 34 years old, has been absolutely not a playoff performer. His entire thing has been doing the wrong things at the wrong time, not really being a great leader, wanting out and making it very well known when he wants out. So you look at him and you look at the Clippers culture and how Kawhi and Paul George have been missing about 50% of their games. And you think to yourself, is this really the right fit for them? Now, the Clippers have been needing some star power. They've been needing some really great players who they can advertise, especially with their new stadium as they're going to be branching out away from the Lakers. And the idea of James Harden, who got 40 by himself against the Celtics last year in the playoffs, is really exciting. But if you look at his playoff stats, Harden averages less points per game, less rebounds per game, less assists per game, slightly more steals per game, but that doesn't really mean anything. Less field goal percentage and less three-point percentage than in the regular season. And he just absolutely has not been that playoff performer that you've been wanting for him. Especially on the Rockets, he has some historically terrible games. He had it against the Warriors a couple times. He had it against other great teams, and he really just lost it. Somehow in a playoff series against the Celtics last season, where he got 40 points twice, 42 and 45 respectively, he averaged 22 points because he got 12, 16, 17, 13, and 9 points in some games. That is ridiculously atrocious. You look at his field goal percentage, it goes 56% with 45 points to 15% to 21% to 70% with 42 points to 50% with 17 points to 25% to 27.3% with 9 points in his seventh game closeout in the Madison Square Garden. How is that player someone who would add something to this Clippers team? But then you look at the team, they are in one of the top spots right now, and they are currently 42-25, fourth in the Western Conference. How did this happen? How did this work out? Well, the odds really were in their favor. You think about it, you have a great defender with Kawhi Leonard. You have a great defender and scorer with Paul George. And now you have a guy who's really going to control the floor in James Harden. He was able to really control it with the 76ers last year. And now, especially because they have so much depth with Zubac, Powell, Mann, Covington, and Westbrook now for the backups, he really has so much to work with here, and he's averaging just 17 points per game, but he has 8 assists per game. Him being top 5 assists has really propelled this team. What they didn't have before was that assist guy. You look at the rest of the team, the closest in assists was Westbrook, but he could never really run the floor, especially with his lack of 3-point shooting. He's currently sitting at 27% and still averaging 2.5 attempts a game, which is probably too much. But with Kawhi and Paul George both averaging just 3.7 assists, you really need that guy who is going to spark the offense for him. And for how little they gave up, Harden has been absolutely great for them, especially because he's been shooting great from the three. His three ball right now is 40%, and the rest of the team is shooting very well. They're shooting lights out. 44% from Powell, 43% from Kawhi, 40% from Amir Coffey, 40% from Paul George. And those are a lot of your top players, right? And when you're shooting the three ball so well, the rest of it is going to be figured out. Now, the Clippers aren't even top 10 in three-pointers made per game, but they are third in three-point percentage per game, which I think is what really counts, because a lot of teams are honestly just chucking it. You have the Warriors, who are sitting under 40% with the second most. You have the Cavs, who are 37%, who are chucking the fifth most. And you have the Thunder, who are just 34%, who are still in the top 10. And something that I've learned is that even though the three-pointer is so effective, so efficient, it's not the teams that are making the most, it's the teams that are averaging the highest percentage. And obviously, they're going to be just total outliers. Like the Celtics are shooting a crazy 40% and making 17 a game, which is, do the math, 50 points per game for the Celtics. That's just a ridiculous amount of points. But for the Clippers, they're just getting those consistent shots. They're going to get those corner threes. They're going to get those spot-up shots, especially with Harden, who can create for himself. And he's also going to be adding to the offense. He's just been a fantastic addition. The biggest question with this team, is it going to be able to hold up? While it's been great, even coming through the All-Star break, for the rest of the season when teams are going to get really locked in, and during the playoffs, is this going to be able to hold up? Historically, with these players, Kawhi has been great. He led the Raptors to a championship. But has he done anything recently? He's been good, but he's been shaky. He hasn't really been playing. And that's been the main issue. Paul George also has not been a great playoff performer. Infamously with saying, that's a bad shot against Damian Lillard. Infamously with the Thunder, who should have won way more. Let's look at the stats. In the regular season, he shoots 44% field goal percentage, and in the playoffs, he shoots 42%. Either way, numbers that you aren't really wanting from a star player. You look at his regular season stats, he averages 21, 6, and 4, and in the playoffs, it's 21, 5, and 3. With so many guys who in the playoffs don't elevate their game, a team like this isn't really going to be able to have that success consistently. Now, there are times where teams have made runs, and this can always happen, but when they go up against the Jokic-led Nuggets, when they go up against the up-and-coming Thunder, the up-and-coming Timberwolves, I don't know if they can play consistently four rounds of great offense, of great defense, or if they're going to fall apart either in ways that make headlines, like with internal fighting or on the court, just breaking down on defense or doing the little things. Because you can make all the highlight plays in the world, you can have all the stars that you want, but look at the Suns right now. They have absolutely failed with Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker, three great players today. With a team like this, it's not like you can't do the whole super team thing anymore. It doesn't work. You look at the Nets from before. Now this era is more about playing fundamental, great offensive basketball because the offense is going up now, more so than either great defense or just having a super team. That's going to be the success factor. Really, the biggest question is this going to carry on into the season? And then what happens after the season? Looking into the contracts, Paul George has another player option, which is great. But if they fail the season, who's to say if he stays? But he would be making $48 million. And I don't know if any other team would give him anywhere near that. So he'll probably stay. You're locked into Kawhi Leonard for four more seasons, which, especially with how old he is and how injury prone he's been, I don't really know how that's going to work out. James Harden, you have here right now on a player option, and he could just walk next season. You have Norman Powell for a few more seasons, PJ Tucker, Zubac. Man, you have some good depth players, and you're going to have some good trades coming up for you soon, especially with Russell Westbrook on a cheap contract for 2 years. But where are the great rookies? Where are those really helpful depth players who are really going to come out during a playoff series, even though those are hard to come by, don't get me wrong, and it might be better to have more power numbers. You look at this team and it's super top heavy. How many people are talking about how great Powell is? He's making $20 million. How many people are talking about how great Tucker is? He's only making $11 million. And obviously these guys are hidden gems in ways, but they're in LA and they're getting a lot of the shine. And if you don't hear them talked about, and if you're just seeing their numbers and you're looking at the eye test, they aren't doing anything that's super significant. With their picks, they own two 2024 second-round picks and not a single first-round pick until 2030. So you have to bet on these old guys who haven't been proven other than Kawhi, who's injury-prone, and it does not feel like a recipe for success whatsoever. Now, what realistically can the Clippers do if all goes wrong? If they lose all the games this season, if they don't even make the playoffs, or if they have some first-round exit or second-round exit? Because I think that if Harden doesn't want to re-sign, then the team is not going to be doing well. I think if Harden doesn't want to re-sign, then you just have to blow it up with this team if you can. Though there are many players on contracts which are very high. There are still valuable players here, absolutely, in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You may want to start a rebuild. I don't think the owners are going to want to do that. But realistically, that's what you'd want to do, especially with a great draft class coming up, with some young, promising players. The league is getting better and better, and investing on the future is now. You look at Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama today. They have been lighting up the league, absolutely. Chet Holmgren has been making the Thunder just so much better with his interior defense and even with his ability to shoot the ball. And Victor is just everywhere on the court with his dominant defensive play, with his three-point shooting, with his interior finishing. The only thing that's holding him back right now are his teammates who just, frankly, aren't passing him the ball. And you look at how the league is shaping up. Go and trade some guys for just a crap ton of picks. You might as well, especially when you've been stuck in no man's land, which is just where no one wants to be. They've been so horrifically mediocre, below average, in all of their seasons, making the Western Conference Finals just once. You can't keep holding on. I think you should hit the reset button on this team if it doesn't work this season. But if it does work this season, if they do make it to the Western Conference Finals and it doesn't feel fluky, just go for it. But especially with how talented the league is, when you look at it and you're trying to think, can I beat the Celtics this year? Can I beat the Nuggets this year? Can I go through three difficult Western Conference teams? Because there are some sneaky teams. There's the Thunder. There's the Wolves, who are less sneaky, but they're the Mavericks, who are in a play-in spot right now. There's the Warriors with Steph Curry. There's the Suns, who have three stars, and even though it hasn't been working, you don't really want to play them in a series. There's the Pelicans, who are super young, and Zion is shaping up really well as point Zion. So depending on how the season ends, there are very different ways that you can look at this season. I think the Clippers this season have a really big chance, and this is really their time. You talk about having a timeline. I think the timeline for competing is right now. And if not, you probably have to rebuild because other teams are only going to be getting better, like the Pelicans. Thank you for watching X's and O's Exposed. Peace.